This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Months after the White House promised to release details about the U.S.'s drone warfare program, President Obama, late on Friday, before a three-day weekend, announced that the U.S. government had killed between 64 and 116 civilians since 2009. Drone warfare has been used since the presidency of George W. Bush in countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, and more. The program has come under fire from people worldwide for having no basis in international law and for indiscriminately killing civilians. But how the U.S. government counts who a civilian is a huge part of the problem. The international human rights organization Reprieve released its own report before the White House's official numbers. And joining me is Omran Belhadi. He is a caseworker at the group Reprieve. Welcome to the program, Omran.
Thank you for having me, Sonal.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, what was your immediate reaction to this range of numbers? It's kind of a big range. You would think that if the U.S. government was going to put out a number, presumably it has been tracking them secretly, that it would have a narrower range, but it's saying 64 to 116 civilians killed since 2009. So that's a long time. Does this sound on the face of it far too low a number?
Yes, it is too low a number. In fact, it's lower than the most conservative of estimates from the Long War Journal.
So let's talk about where the United States government even comes up with that information. I mean, it's claiming that well over 1,000, more than 1,000 people have actually been killed. And then of that number, only a small number are civilians, or as it says, non-combatants. How important in all of this is the definition of who a combatant is versus a non-combatant, or what we would normally refer to as a civilian?
It's fundamentally important. I mean, that's how they determine who they put in what category. And in fact, our report shows that they've been moving goalposts since Obama has been in power, and the definition of a combatant and a non-combatant has been shifting. And at some point, they said that any military-aged male in the vicinity of a strike is considered a combatant.
And so just actually going back to the actual numbers, between January 2009 and December 2015, according to the U.S. government, it has killed through 473 drone strikes, a total of between 2,372, 2,581 deaths. So at least, you know, approximately 2,500 people killed who the U.S. government considers to be combatants, fighters, soldiers. Of that, and then in addition to that, 64 to 116 civilian deaths. And if you look at those numbers, one might imagine this is an extremely precise form of warfare. Is it indeed precise? I mean, when we hear of protests in Pakistan by people who are upset that their, you know, wife and children were killed, how precise is this form of warfare really?
Well, if you look even at the administration's own number, you can tell they're guessing. They have no clear sense of how many people were killed. I mean, even in terms of the combatants, the margin of error between combatants is larger than the number of civilians they estimate are killed. But it's not at all a precise program, and you only need to talk to the civilians in Yemen and Pakistan who are on the receiving end of Hellfire missiles to ask them. And one of our clients, for example, Faisal bin Ali Jaber, is a perfect example of how imprecise the program is. He lost two of his relatives in a strike in Yemen in 2012. His brother-in-law, who was an anti-Al-Qaeda imam, and his nephew, who was a police officer.
And also, we should note that the report that the White House released on Friday does not include civilian casualties for Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, where the U.S. has, of course, launched thousands of airstrikes over the years, including drone strikes. These deaths are of drone strikes in Yemen, Pakistan, Libya, and Somalia alone. That's about 500 drone attacks in all. So it's not even covering the entire drone warfare or air war program, right?
Yes, indeed. It's covering countries in which the U.S. is not officially at war. And that's actually part of the fundamental issue here, is that these are secret programs that happen. Everything happens behind closed doors. Even the definition of who you are striking, everything happens behind closed doors. And that's part of the problem. The American people have not had the opportunity to independently assess whether this form of counterterrorism is even effective. And when you have generals, former generals, saying that this is a failed strategy, then you need to put out a lot more than just bald figures. You need to be able to tell the American people, what is the legal basis for taking these strikes? How do you define who is a combatant and who is not? A lot more transparency is needed than just plain figures.
And in terms of responsibility, we should also remind ourselves that President Obama himself is personally responsible. There have been reports and even leaked documents and media reports that tell us that there is a kill list that the president personally signs off on in terms of who should be targeted. So this isn't something that can be laid at the feet of some Pentagon general. It's our commander. It's the U.S. commander-in-chief, right?
It is indeed, yes. And the whole notion, the idea that Obama has a list of people that he wants dead is terrifying. It's putting absolute power at the hands of one single person, which, and I'm not a U.S. lawyer, although I may sound like one, but I think is fundamentally contrary to what the United States stands for as a country.
I want to play for you and our audience video that President Obama speaking at the University of Chicago in April of this year. He was invited to remark about the Supreme Court vacancy and the fact that, you know, he is expected to nominate somebody to replace Antonin Scalia. And then unexpectedly, a student in the audience, this is a law school, as a student in the audience asked him about the drone program. This is part of what President Obama had to say.
I don't have the luxury of just not doing anything, and then being able to stand back and feel as if my conscience is completely clear. I have to make decisions because there are folks out there who are genuinely trying to kill us and would be happy to blow up this entire room without any compunction and are actively trying to find ways to do it. And I wish I could I could just send an Iron Man or I don't mean that as a joke. I wish that the tragedy of war, conflict, terrorism, et cetera, did not end up creating circumstances where we wielding kinetic power don't end up hurting anybody who shouldn't have been hurt. But what I try to do is to set up the system as best as I can. And I think it is very important for those who are critics of the U.S. government, and this includes folks on the outside, to examine the incredible progress that we've made over the course of a couple of decades, because this conversation didn't even exist. It did not even cross the minds of people in the White House as recently as 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, it wasn't even a factor, and we anguish over this in a very serious way.
President Obama saying we anguish over the drone program in a very serious way. Omran Abdelhadi, he started out in this clip we just played saying, I don't have the luxury of just not doing anything. I have to make decisions. There are folks who are genuinely trying to kill us. If you were seated right in front of the president right now, how would you respond to him?
Well, I have no doubt that there are people out there who want to cause us harm, but a program which creates more enemies than allies is not the solution. Whenever a U.S. drone kills a civilian, that creates resentment amongst the local population, and that is fundamentally counterproductive. And just cite just one example, Faisal's case, where you have people on the ground who are preaching against Al-Qaeda. Those are people that we need to reach out to support and to help. Those aren't people that we need to kill using drones, using a Hellfire missile.
President Obama claimed that the administration had made incredible progress. I mean, do they just measure progress by the number of so-called combatants that they've killed?
It's very difficult to tell. They seem to be reserving the right to grade their own homework, but they're not even giving us the ability to judge by what measure they evaluate their own progress. It goes back to the whole secrecy around the program. We have such little information about the whole principles driving the program that we can't make, that and the American people can't make independent assessments about whether it's effective and whether it's lawful.
Do you believe that the president anguishes over this program?
I'm sure he does. He seems like a very principled man. After all, he is the president who said that he would close Guantanamo Bay. But the problem is bigger than just him, and that's why he needs to release the processes and the procedures that he claims are in place.
Right. So let's actually take a look at one specific part of the report that was released by the Director of National Intelligence. And this is at the heart of this whole issue. The U.S. government may have reliable information that certain individuals are combatants, but are being counted as non-combatants by non-governmental organizations. That is an attempt to justify people that the U.S. government kills that others see as civilians, but somehow it looks as the U.S. government has some secret information about the fact that they might not really be civilians, that they're really secretly, just part of Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State or other problematic groups. But doesn't the U.S. government determine who is a combatant or non-combatant usually after they've died?
It seems so. And what they say about non-combatants is that you can prove that you're a non-combatant if you provide us with, I think the terms are conclusive evidence, posthumous evidence that you are a non-combatant. And that's part of the problem. It's only when someone is dead that they make the determination of whether they made a mistake or not.
How are these drone strikes viewed on the ground? Your organization, Reprieve, works directly with victims of drone strikes and families of victims who have been trying to get justice in U.S. courts and in other courts. And it's really important. I don't think the U.S. public really gets how destructive these drone strikes are, not just for the reputation of the United States, but just destructive to human beings.
They are fundamentally. And as I said, they create a lot of resentment in the local populations. And to just cite one figure, prior to in Yemen, before 2012, there were only 200 Al-Qaeda fighters. And once the drone program ramped up in that country, that figure almost increased tenfold. And so it's really, the drone is the only interaction between the local population and the United States. And so when the only thing you know of the United States is that they have killed your brother, they've killed your father, and they've destroyed your home and your car and your livelihood, then of course that will create a groundswell of resentment against the United States.
I understand that the European Parliament is going to be examining this issue of drone warfare, and that there is quite serious opposition in Europe, both from the public and from governments. If you set aside the UK, which joins forces with the US on armed drone strikes, but there is significant opposition in the EU, which might very easily lose the UK soon as a result of the Brexit vote. And there's opposition to this particular program, and there are actually former drone operators who have turned whistleblowers to testify to the European Parliament. Do you feel that there's mounting international pressure? And how important is it for drone operators to speak out about what they're doing?
It's incredibly important. They are the ones with the inside knowledge of how the program works. And their voice is important for two reasons. Firstly, because it's very clear that the victims in this drone programs are not just Yemeni civilians or Pakistani civilians, but also our servicemen, and that this program puts, U.S. soldiers through a grueling and extremely dehumanizing process. But secondly, it's important because they understand fundamentally the balance between the need to protect the American people. They join the military because they want to protect the American people. But even they see the problems with a program that goes around killing people without any form of accountability and any transparency.
Now, the president is apparently claimed, and the White House has claimed, that this report that was released on Friday, the first U.S. government admission of drone civilians, civilian victims of the drone strikes, will be the first of annual reports, that he's apparently going to sign an executive order requiring his successor to annually release the civilian victims of the drone program. Now, apparently, the president had announced the goal of doing such a thing in 2013 and waited 3 years until his last year of office on a Friday before a three-day weekend to release a complete underestimate. Is the president even sincere in doing this? I mean, why wait till your last year in office? You could have been doing this for all 8 years that you've expanded this program.
Well, yes. I mean, it does call into question the sincerity of the exercise. It does. I mean, past statements and the attitude of the government, or this administration rather, to the whole drone program demonstrates that transparency is not really the goal. What this is an elaborate PR exercise. It's to push back against the criticism that the administration has suffered because of the drone program.
Is it a way to salvage President Obama's foreign policy legacy?
In a way, yes. I mean, it's clearly Obama on a legacy run, and it's his hope of salvaging that part of his foreign policy.
Now, apparently, the White House is also going to be releasing the, quote, classified legal framework, as the New York Times put it, behind the drone program, known as the Presidential Policy Guideline. Presumably, these are the guidelines that spell out on what basis somebody lands on the kill list, on what basis somebody is considered a combatant or a non-combatant?
Well, I mean, I think the key word there is presumably. We don't know that's part of the problem is we don't know what's in this guidance. We don't know how many other documents exist. We don't know what really guides this program and you know what the bases are for deciding that someone deserves to be killed.
And so according to the Times, this particular presidential policy guidance sets legal standards for deciding whom to kill, where, and under what circumstances. This is the legal document that could enable the survivors of drone strikes, the families of victims, and even maybe members of the U.S. public to challenge the whole program in court, right? Because right now, any legal challenge is based on assumptions that are not made public.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm not a U.S. lawyer, so I couldn't comment conclusively on that. But what I would say is that the legality of the program is certainly an important question, but we should also be questioning whether it's effective. And when you have whistleblowers, drone whistleblowers, saying this is not the way to conduct counterterrorism operations, and even former generals saying that this is a failed strategy. So Michael Flynn, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, said that. Then I think it's more than just legality that we need to consider. It's also whether this is the right thing to do.
Now, the other aspect of this is that even Americans have been killed by drone strikes. Anwar al-Awlaki, of course, is the one that we know. But according to the report, according to reports, there have been at least 8 Americans killed by drone strikes. As far as you know, did the White House release any identifications of the victims? Is there any way for us to know who is on that list of 64 to 116 people killed?
No, and the fact is they haven't even released a breakdown by country. So we don't even know if all these victims are in Yemen, they're all in Somalia, or they're all in Pakistan. There is absolutely no way for us to know whether or not, who is counted among those civilians. And that's part of the problem. So our client, for example, Faisal, has no idea whether his brother-in-law and his nephew are counted among the official dead or not.
So they just basically threw out a bunch of numbers that are impossible to verify, vague estimates with large ranges, and that is meant to be the extent of the transparency that people are being afforded in terms of who has been killed. That's pretty remarkable.
That's a pretty accurate summary of the release. Yes.
Now, because of the criticism that President Obama and this drone program had been coming under, I understand that the president has at least verbally claimed that the program is going to be made more precise, less dangerous for civilians, that they were going to have better guidelines in place to prevent or reduce civilian casualties. What do we know about that? And as far as we know, have those been put into place? Have they actually resulted in fewer civilian deaths? Or is this just yet another thing that we don't know about?
Well, there is, again, a lot of secrecy surrounding that issue. And one example I would take is the question of signature strikes. So this is a type of strike where people are killed based on a pattern of behavior. And the famous quote is that two guys doing jumping jacks in the mountain counts as a terrorist training camp. The problem with those strikes is that Obama had announced that he would put an end to them. But more recently, in the last year or two, we've seen actually, and there are reports suggesting that these have started again, both in Yemen and Pakistan. And in the case of Pakistan, that he signed a secret executive order allowing the CIA to take signature strikes in the country. So it's very difficult to independently assess whether Obama's claims about reining in the program are accurate or not.
Well, Omran, can you give out a website for your organization where people can get a hold of the report that that you released before the White House's report on drone strikes?
Sure. Our report is just available on our website, which is www.reprieve.org.uk.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Omran, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, great. You're welcome. Thank you.
Omran Belhadi is a caseworker at the international human rights organization Reprieve. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.